Unquestionably, my favorite season of the church is the season of Advent. Lent is a really close second place for me, but I love the season of Advent. And it is, of course, partially that we have beautiful decorations, and we do. It looks lovely in here, thanks to all of the folks that stayed and decorated. And of course, there are traditions attached to the season of Advent that are marvelous. We have our Advent wreath with us just right here, the three blue candles, or sometimes three purple candles, one pink candle. We'll talk more about why the candle is pink later on. Later on in Advent, not later on today. Because it's not time for the pink candle yet. We'll let it have its own glory. But no, there are a lot of things that come with that time. And I know in my household, one of the things that comes with the time of Advent is we begin to ready our house. And that means every sort of decoration that is not a Christmas decoration, we do almost a full house redecorate. The pictures on the walls come down. The floral gets changed out. All of the knickknacks and the doodads on the shelves all get put in boxes, and new knickknacks and doodads get put on the shelves. And of course, we have trees. And as many of you who know me know, we have more than a few trees. We have several trees that we will put up in a given season. And so we've got a tree in pretty much every room of our house. And then every so often we will be out at a store and we will look and we will see ornaments that are for sale and think, oh, that's a really beautiful ornament. I wish we had that ornament. Maybe we should get that ornament. And then we start looking around the house thinking, well, where can we put another tree? We don't have one in the bathroom yet, so maybe we should have one of those. Because there's always another beautiful thing happening in the season of Christmas, and we want to take part in all of the beautiful things. And we want to be part of this incredible and beautiful event that is happening. But it should cause us to ask one simple question. All of this preparation, all of this excitement, all of this anticipation, and all of this Advent waiting, who is it that we're waiting for? Who exactly are we waiting for? Is it the Jesus who is born in the manger? So I want to say one of my favorite Advent traditions is putting out the nativity set. We had a nativity set as I was a kid that left me exceptionally confused for years and years and years. And we would get together on Sunday and we would sing songs about, you know, we three kings of Orient are. And we would talk about the three kings that were coming during the season of Advent and then, of course, later in Epiphany. And I was always confused by this because I would look at our nativity set in my house and we had four kings. We had two kings and then we had a pair of twins. And I remember putting the kings out every year and thinking to myself, I wonder why the songs all have it wrong. Because clearly there are four kings, these two and then the twins. And at some point in my life, I remember saying to either my mother or my grandmother, what a really beautiful Advent and tradition it was to have the nativity set out. Why does everybody have it wrong? Why are there four kings for us and everybody else thinks there are three? And I remember my grandmother saying, well, I bought this one on sale. And it had two kings and they looked really good together. So we figured, what the heck? We got four kings. So we always had an extra king. And I said, on one hand though, it also kind of made up for it because we would always leave the baby Jesus out of the cradle for our Advent period of time because, of course, Jesus wasn't arrived yet. We would leave the baby Jesus out of the cradle, and then when we got to Christmas Eve, one of the things I remember doing is getting to put the baby Jesus into the cradle and have the completed nativity set because we were waiting on the arrival of the baby Jesus. And, of course, in many very important ways. During the season of Advent, it is our time to anticipate the coming of the Christ child. What is Christmas if not the day that the church is set apart to celebrate the birth of Christ? Oh, not a day. Days. I really want to encourage folks to take that whole 12 days of Christmas thing very seriously. And for the record, we're not even doing our Christmas program with our kids this year until Epiphany. And so we're taking the full 12 days of Christmas and celebrating them all. I think we should have more than just one day for Christmas. But the season of Advent is about waiting for the coming of the Christ child. Except, of course, for the fact that it is also about something more. As great as the tradition was of waiting for the arrival of the Christ child and putting that little baby, that little toy baby, in the cradle in our nativity set as a kid, we're also waiting for the return of Christ himself. The season of Advent is a time for us to remember that as the world waited on Christ to arrive, the world is waiting on Christ to return. We don't know the day, the week, the hour. I'm always amazed by people that make predictions about when Christ is going to come again, and they can always name a day and an hour. And I'm going to tell you all, I don't usually mark that on my calendar, because I sort of generally assume that if somebody's told me that Jesus is going to return on February the 13th at 9 p.m., that of all the times in which Jesus might come, the least likely time that he's going to come is February 13th at 9 p.m. Because we neither know the day nor the hour. Christ himself said, it's going to be a surprise. But that we should be willing to spend our energy and our time to be waiting, anticipating, being ready. Historically speaking, the church has talked about Jesus having three roles. We talk about him as prophet, priest, and king. Those three categories are very important in the Old Testament because the prophets, their job was to stand outside of society and be a voice for God, speaking God's truth into the world. Usually a truth that people didn't want to hear. And yes, sometimes that truth had to do with talking about events that were going to come. But I tell people this all the time. Prophets' jobs aren't to be predicting the future. You see, if I say to someone, tomorrow I'm going to go to have breakfast at McDonald's. That's not a prediction. That's me telling you what my plans are. If I say, tomorrow when I go to McDonald's, it's going to be on fire and I'm not going to get breakfast, that's a prediction. Those two things are different. Prophets' jobs are not to predict the future. Prophets' jobs are to convey God's plans. To say, God is going to do X, Y, and Z. And this is how you know that God is going to do X, Y, and Z, because it's going to look exactly this way. And what's more, a prophet's job is to speak directly for God. And one of the things Jesus does in his ministry time and time again is he acts as God's prophet. And again, he's not making predictions about things that God has vaguely told him might happen. He is party to God's plans. In my household, we have a busy, busy schedule. We make use of calendars. We make use of spreadsheets. We make use of reminds on our phone. We have things planned out sometimes in advance, weeks, if not months, because there's so much happening. We have children that are active. We have events that are active at church. And if we don't know what's going to be coming, we are in a mess. And I'll tell you how far that goes. My wife, who is just the queen of all planning, who has the most magnificent mind when it comes to making things happen, she has, for my benefit, and it is wholly and completely for my benefit, a spreadsheet calendar of what's going to be for dinner for the next 4 weeks. And let me tell you what, that is a useful, useful thing. Because there's never a day when I say, I wonder what we're going to have for dinner. I can just open it up because it's on our computer. It's a shared file. And I can see, tonight's going to be fajitas. Okay, well, what do I need to grab on my way home from work today? Oh, well, we're going to need flour tortillas. Okay, that's my job. I'm going to go and I'm going to pick up the flour tortillas. Because, you know, there's always something you got to pick up. Planning makes a difference. When you know what's going to happen, you know how you're supposed to act according to the thing that's going to happen. So Jesus here in today's gospel passage, speaking as a prophet. And I'm going to spend the next 4 weeks talking about how Jesus speaks as a prophet, a priest, a king, but also a savior. But speaking as a prophet, Jesus says, you surely should know that the Son of Man will come again, and you should anticipate his coming, and you should be able to know that he's coming because I've told you that he is going to come again. We won't know the day. We won't know the hour. But what is it Jesus says that we're supposed to do? We're supposed to know that on that calendar, somewhere in the future, God has already written, March 3rd, 2037, come again. Those plans are in place. Those plans are in work. We're supposed to be living our lives accordingly. He says rather specifically at the end of this passage, speaking as a prophet, you should therefore not let your lives be wasted on things of this world. He says dissolute living and drunkenness, which, you know, I think we can all go, oh yeah, absolutely, we shouldn't do that. Then he says, or cares of this world. He doesn't want us to waste our lives on worry. We're not supposed to waste our lives on worry because God's plan's already in place. The calendar's already been made. We just don't know what it is, but it's already there. And God's promise is that he is going to fulfill what it is that he has said he's going to do, which is that he's going to return and that he is going to make everything that's wrong right again. I don't know if you've noticed this in the world that we live in. There's a lot of stuff that isn't right. And those of you who know my two older daughters know that one of them works for Child Protective Services. She's a caseworker. And one of them is a public defender who works with juveniles. And boy, let me tell you what. When you have a meal with the two of them at the same table, my wife, who is a teacher of special ed, the three of them get together, and the stories they can tell you about some of the nightmarish existence that some people exist in will absolutely curl your hair. Even though they can't get into specifics, the general is enough to make you weep a little bit for humanity. The world that we live in needs fixed. The world that we live in is not perfect. The world that we live in has suffering and sorrow and misery. And of all people on the face of the planet who should never have to suffer through sorrow and misery, we should be children. To know that we live in a world in which children experience things of extreme sorrow. This should break all of our hearts. It should not be. And so what is it God says? God says, I have a plan. I will return. I will set everything that is wrong right again. And I will bring my kingdom into this world. And there will never be sorrow or suffering or misery again. Live your lives according to that. Now, the season of Advent, we take extra time to decorate our homes. We take extra time to decorate our churches. We take extra time to do special things that focus ourselves on the anticipation of the Christmas that is coming. But what it is that Jesus is saying is that you are to also spend extra time arranging and decorating your life. That you are to give your life meaning by, you know how I said that we take all of the things off of the shelves, the doodads, the knickknacks of life, and then we replace them all with the Christmas stuff? What Jesus here is talking about doing is looking at the shelves that make up your soul. Looking at the storage space, if you will, that is your heart. And take down the normal things. The worries, the fears, the worldly things, the things that aren't of God's kingdom, the things that don't shine with God's light, the things that, in fact, are shadowy with this world's dark existence. Take those things down. They don't have a place there because we're waiting on the Christ who might be here tomorrow. But instead, put the things on the shelves of that heart that are supposed to be there if we're waiting for Christ's return. Things like love, grace, mercy, goodness, God's law, God's word. Are we listening to the words of the prophet Jesus when he says, do not let your hearts be weighed down by the things of this world, but instead be ready and anticipating my return? So I say to you as we gather together this Advent season, this decoration that we are enjoying here is marvelous, wonderful, but it serves as an icon to remind us. It serves as a road sign to point us to something deeper. Are we spending this Advent season taking all of the doodads and the odds and ends out of our soul, off of our heart, and setting them aside, I would say permanently, and redecorating those shelves with things of the kingdom of God? Because we are to be the people who live getting ready every single day for Christ's return, not just for 4 weeks during the season of Advent, but for 12 months out of every year. We are to be the people of God ready for Christ's return, as though it might be tomorrow, because honestly, I can't say that it won't be. Can't say that it will be either, but we should live as though Christ is returning. Not because we're worried and afraid that he's going to show up and we look like we're doing nothing, you know. Look busy, Jesus is back. No, it's not like that boss you had that you always wanted to have like a broom on hand just in case they walked in the door. No, that's not what I'm talking about. See, we are to have our hearts ready for Christ's return because that is the best condition for hearts to be in. 12 months out of the year. So let us be ready for Christ's return, because it is good to be a people who live in readiness. Amen.